And welcome to this edition of the Healthy Planet radio program. My name is Bob DiBenedetto, your host for the best hour of your life, the one that's always in front of you right now. The Healthy Planet focuses on topics that will help to educate you about the deep connection among all life on Earth and the powerful effects your everyday choices can have on creating a clean, healthy, and compassionate world. And that is what all of us want, regardless of our perspective on other things in life. Now, while many of our shows discuss global issues and looking at the big picture, tonight's show is one that could potentially result in you, ready for this, saving thousands of dollars on your home energy bills. And I'm throwing around the thousands of dollars figure, not out of the air, but I've had a lot of experience with doing home energy work, and I have saved thousands of dollars as a result. The payback is amazing. I've taken on measures that range from insulation to ceiling cracks to putting all kinds of clean energy, which is outside of the realm of energy efficiency. That's clean energy. But in addition to me on this program, I'm going to have an expert on the line to help you fully understand this topic over the next hour. His name is Jay Best, and he's from Green Team LI. And I'm actually quite excited to be passing along the information that you're going to be hearing. And it's my intention in this show that many of our homeowner listeners sign up for a free home energy audit during or after this show, okay? So if you are a homeowner, be prepared to sign up because there's basically no reason to not do it. Now, the backdrop to this topic is that we're in a world that wastes most of what we produce in some major areas of our society. According to the biggest analysis done to date, published in the Journal of Science in May 2018, the production of livestock provides just 18% of our calories in our world, but takes 83% of the farmland. All right, that's kind of the definition of wasteful and inefficient. And that's because when feeding grains to animals in order to feed animals to people, 90% of the food energy is lost compared to feeding that food directly to humans. It's a highly inefficient system. And that applies to so many other industries, including our fishing industry, where out of 160 billion pounds of fish caught every year, 160 billion, only 52 billion pounds is delivered for human consumption. That is the definition of inefficient. And when it comes to food in general, the post-harvest loss and waste is equally enormous, resulting in the loss of 30 to 40% of our food supply. Now, obviously, food waste in a world where over 820 million people are chronically hungry is not a political issue. The equation is simple, regardless of your political party. And I think all of you would agree with me on this. People are starving, and we're wasting food on a massive scale. Not what we're after. But this evening's show is not about food, but energy. And it's not just about clean energy or clean energy plans or legislation or regulations that we've talked a lot about in the past. But it's the flip side of energy waste, which is energy efficiency. It's getting us to a point of using our resources more efficiently. And just as with food, humanity is currently engaged in the use of energy that results in more energy waste than usage. According to the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in 2018, 68% of all U.S. energy was rejected. Now, rejected means that 68% of the energy that's created for our transportation, buildings, heating, cooling, electricity, and everything else is wasted. This is bad for our health, resulting in millions of deaths per year worldwide from air pollution. Bad for our environment, as all that wasted fuel comes out of smokestacks and chimneys and other places as harmful emissions that pollute our land and water, while contributing greatly to climate change, which, of course, we need to address today. And, of course, as we've discussed many, many times on this show, climate change itself kills, according to the World Health Organization, 150,000 people every year now, and that is growing. And wasted energy, to take it away from the global scale, means that every business is going to have a less robust bottom line because they're paying for energy that's largely being wasted, whether it's a fleet of cars turning a good part of that gasoline used into heat. That's right. Those hot engines, when you feel a hot engine, that's just wasted energy. It's supposed to be used for transporting the vehicle. And in fact, it's used to, for heat. And for also, most of the energy goes to transporting that thousands of pounds vehicle around. And so you're not getting the miles. Or businesses paying for heating and cooling in buildings that are using dated systems, wasteful equipment, or tenants paying rent in those buildings where they're wasting so much energy and therefore paying more, with energy literally going out the window with leaky windows. And of course, that applies to our homes as well, with much of our housing stock being leaky, having less than adequate insulation. Wasted energy causes every person, household, and business money that I think we'd all agree could be better spent elsewhere. And while we're wasting most of our energy, the great thing about this topic that we're going to be discussing this evening is that the solution, implementing energy efficiency measures, is a win-win. It can put many more people to work than fossil fuels, especially on Long Island, where we're sending billions of dollars per year off the island to purchase fossil fuels. Energy efficiency continues to be among the cheapest ways of meeting the world's energy demands. And again, it saves each home and business potentially very large amounts of money. Very large amounts of money. However, somehow we almost never hear political discussions about addressing energy efficiency, despite the fact that it's a win-win. We hear a lot about the Keystone Pipeline, right? You've so much about that, that transports tar sands from Canada. While we don't hear about energy efficiency so much. Again, tar sands, yes. Energy efficiency, no. Tar sands represent some of the dirtiest, most polluting, and the least efficient forms of energy out there. It can cost almost as much energy to produce tar sands oil as it provides to the end user. And a pipeline such as Keystone, which has all that dirty energy flowing through it, creates a fraction of the jobs that large-scale clean energy and energy efficiency measures would create. So we really need to reboot our political conversations around energy. And all, regardless of your party, get behind those forms of energy that are the safest and that put the most people to work. Now, on this show, we'll be talking all about allowing you to become part of the solution, because each one of us contributes to the whole. And so what we do, as we have told you for 14 years now on this show, what you do is important. What you talk about to your neighbors and friends is important. The great news here is that for your efforts, you could be paid handsomely in energy savings year after year from lower electricity and home heating bills. And to take on this important topic, we have a true expert in the energy efficiency field. With us this evening on the phone, his name is Jay Best. Jay is the founder and president of Green Team Long Island, a full-service home efficiency company specializing in whole home solutions. Green Team LI's focus is making customers' homes more comfortable, safer, and more energy efficient. And of course, that saves you money. Jay is a veteran environmental scientist and engineer who started working in the environmental industry over 30 years ago. He started as an environmental chemist in Boston, working at a number of EPA and hazardous waste Superfund sites. And for the last 10 plus years, Jay has dedicated himself to learning about and improving the home environment and energy efficiency of residential customers. Jay Best graduated from MIT with a bachelor's degree in chemistry. He holds several Building Performance Institute certifications and is a LEED accredited professional. He is also a member of the Town of Huntington Advisory Committee on Energy Efficiency, Renewables, and Sustainability, and a member of the Long Island chapter of the U.S. Green Building Council. So he lives his message, and he is active in the field. Welcome to The Healthy Planet, Jay.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's great to have you with us tonight. When most of the houses on Long Island were built, I would guess, you know, in the last 50 years or so, 50, 75 years, when exactly were most of the houses built, and how old are the houses that you go to see on average?
I would say typically they're, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old. I mean, we all know about the housing boom that happened after the end of World War II and, you know, starting with communities like Levittown and in Nassau County and continuously building on. And it's really continuing on, now. It's, not in Nassau anymore, but it's in Suffolk, central Suffolk and western Suffolk, and we still see that housing boom continued. What's really changed is that the energy code has caught up in the last few years, and so houses that built today are just order of magnitude better than the houses that were built 40 and 50 years ago. But most of our housing stock really is old and was built before there was any real energy code.
Right, and therein lies part of what we're dealing with in trying to catch up.
Absolutely.
So just how inefficient are those old houses? Describe some of what you've seen in terms of insulation, leakiness. How badly are they using their energy?
Well, our analysis of most houses starts with what we call an energy audit. And one of the key aspects of an energy audit is doing what we call a blower door test. And the blower door test measures the amount of air leakage that happens. And today's houses have a certain number of air changes that's, sort of the legal limit. And literally, if the house doesn't meet that limit, they have to continue working on the house to make sure that it reaches the current code. The houses that we're going into that were built 40 or 50 years ago are typically 2 to 3 times and sometimes more leaky than they need to be from a good indoor air quality standpoint. And that's really just money wasted. They'll have, 1/3 as much insulation, be 3 times leakier. And so they're really using a lot more energy. And furthermore, it's making those homes uncomfortable. So the homeowner is both not living as well as they could be, but paying a lot more to do it.
Yeah. So we're dealing with a housing stock with a great amount of potential.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of potential for reduction. So,
and it's low-hanging fruit. We know exactly what to do, exactly the benefits we'll get, and it doesn't hurt anybody. It puts people to work, but we'll get more into that momentarily. So I find this whole field of energy efficiency to be really the most exciting because it's the most simple. And doesn't need any future technologies, although I'm sure we will continue to create more technologies going forward. And the fact that, again, it has such global and local benefits. And this is where the energy audit process comes in, because those old houses with bad insulation and leaky windows and doors, they don't just fix themselves because we're in the year 2020. Our nonprofit organization, Healthy Planet, has been supporting the Long Island's Green Homes Initiative for a very long time. And that's a program that your company, the Green Team Long Island, is part of.
Yes, big part. We do a lot.
Yep. And that is all about encouraging homeowners to sign up for a free home energy audit. Let's focus on that word, free. You don't pay anything for this audit.
Yeah, there's New York State initially started this a number of years ago, and then PSEG has taken that over here on Long Island in Nassau and Suffolk. So we get paid to do an energy audit and actually energy audits are free throughout New York State, but in Nassau and Suffolk, we get paid by PSEG to do that. And that's a deep dive into your home to understand what's going on. And that's, and we encourage people to do that, whether, they would like to do the work themselves or, work with a company like ours to do it, but it gives you kind of a baseline and recommendations about how to get that done. And there's a number of companies in addition to ours that can help you with that.
Right. And some people, upon hearing the fact that you're paid by the utility and other entities to do this work, doesn't make sense. So explain how that works, why it is in their interest to have homes become more energy efficient.
The utility's interest. Yeah. That sort of puzzled me in the beginning as well, because you would think that the utility, well, they're in the business of selling energy. Wouldn't they want me to use more? And the utility has a number of challenges. So one of those challenges is that they need to meet our energy requirements day in, day out, all year long. And for the vast majority of the year, they're only delivering about half the amount of power that they're capable of delivering. And so, on a day like today where it's not too hot, not too cold, they have a lot of idle capacity sitting out there, but they have to build a lot of capacity for the hottest summer days when our peak energy usage is. And so the same insulation and efficiency measures that we put in place that save us all year round actually cut what we call the peak demand, which are the amount of electricity that the utilities, the electric utility needs in the summer, but also that the gas utility needs in the winter to meet those peak demand days. The other thing that's happened is that the way that utilities get paid has changed over time, and particularly on Long Island through PSEG and above that, the Long Island Power Authority, the way they get paid has been decoupled from energy production directly. So they really get paid for making sure that we have reliable service all year round, and the amount of profit that they keep really doesn't depend on the amount of energy delivered. It depends on the reliability of the energy that's delivered.
All right, that's important. That's important, and it's good. That's where they're being rewarded for doing what
right.
works for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Because the profit motive, while we've created a whole system about it, sometimes it creates results that are unintentional and not so good for everybody.
That is true.
Yeah. So I like this snippet I found on your company's website. It's the greenteamli.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, we're engineers, architects, and builders who were determined to form a new type of company. We dig deeper than the typical auditor turns contractor to fundamentally understand and improve your home with a comprehensive energy audit on Long Island. We know what we're doing, and we get results from our hard work. The home you love, only warmer, healthier, and much more efficient. We're so sure you'll gain insight from our Long Island energy audit at Green Team LI. We guarantee it. So that's good.
Thank you.
On that note, explain the overall purpose of an energy audit to someone who may have never heard of this before.
Sure. So there's really three key aspects to the energy audit. So the first off is really a diagnosis of your home. We're going in like a doctor doing a checkup on your home, and we're looking for places where it's maybe not as healthy as it could be. So that might be there's too much air leakage, as I was mentioning. There's not enough insulation. The heating system is older and inefficient. So that's the home diagnosis. The second part is really educating the homeowner about these different aspects and what are the things that can be done to remedy them. Everyone's situation is different, and people need to understand how their home is contributing to their high energy bills. And the third part is that there's a number of programs that are out there that can help homeowners to be able to achieve improvements and get the work done and achieve their goals. And there's many different programs, and they're complicated, and we can boil those down to what's specifically relevant to the homeowner in their situation, their fuel type, their income category, so that they can make the decisions that are best for them.
Okay. So it's pretty simple. One, two, three. And one and two and three need not go together. You'll always get the number one, which is diagnosing the home. You'll always get
yep.
the number two, the education and the recommendations. And you need not go on to have any particular person do the work. You could do it yourself, or you could hire another company, or you
yep.
can go with the company that you have brought in to do the overall energy audit.
Yep.
All right. So as I mentioned before, my intention is to have as many listeners as possible who are hearing this show sign up for a free energy audit, basically because it's a win-win and there's no reason not to. So toward that end, I'd like people to get an understanding of what the actual experience of a home energy audit is going to be like. From when we go online and fill out the form or call your company, to when the company arrives at the home and starts the process, through the time when they get the recommendations and the education and the audit?
Sure. So in order to do an energy audit, we probably need about 90 minutes typically in your home. Companies conduct audits in different ways. The way we do it is typically as a two-man team where we'll arrive in the home. One person really focuses on the diagnostics of the home, and the other is able to work with the homeowner to understand their situation, provide some education about about the different types of programs, but also understand the homeowner's own economic situation. During that test, we'll poke our heads and we'll take a look in the attic, we'll look in the basement, we'll look at the heating system, the air conditioning system, take a kind of really overall assessment of the home as well. Part of that will be doing what we call the blower door test, which is really the large fan that gets set up in the front door, and it measures how much air leakage is going on in the home. Depending on the season, we'll typically also do an infrared camera, so we'll really be able to look kind of behind the walls and see how much cold is, you know, this time of year we're looking for essentially cold coming into the home, where the weak spots, the cold spots in the outer walls. During the summertime, we're looking for the hot spots in the outside walls. So it's, you know, that infrared camera kind of helps us see that. And more importantly, it really visualizes for the homeowner. They can, you know, really see where the problem areas are.
Right. That gives you a visual depiction of hot and cold. It's a nice high-tech camera.
Yep. Then the second part is we'll typically take the measurements that we do from that, and we'll put those, we bring those back to the office, and we do some computer-aided analysis on your home, really to determine what are some projected energy savings. You know, we'll have a set of recommendations and maybe some different scenarios that we'll look at, and we'll put those into some computer software that we run, and then give you some idea of, based on your current energy bills, based on the recommendations that we have, what could you expect to save if you were to follow through with these things? And then you can make an economic decision. You know, part of it's economics, but part of it's also how important is a new comfortable home for you in your overall decision making.
Right. Why don't you go right into that now? Talk about the non-energy saving benefits of doing a home energy audit and getting some work done.
Sure, sure. So we hear a lot about things like indoor air quality issues, mold that may be in homes, things like that, that roof rot, for instance, even sometimes termites and things like that. You know, one of the underlying causes of those is moisture. And moisture that's allowed to, you know, move through a home uncontrolled, and a lot of that is through air leakage that may be going on. That moisture can result in condensation on the roof deck. It can result in dank, musty basements. And so by addressing the insulation and air leakage in a home, that does help to reduce the amount of uncontrolled moisture in your home. It makes it both more comfortable, but also, you know, reduces the amount of mold and building decay that happens over time, and, you know, part of, and along with improving the air quality. There's also things that we'll do typically when work is done, doing sealing of the ductwork that keeps dust from attics and crawl spaces from entering into the ductwork and causing more dust in the home and in poor indoor air quality. You know, those are just some of the types of benefits that come up as we're doing work as well.
Yeah. And also when you're in a house that is not well insulated and leaky, you could be sitting in one particular spot and your thermostat is in another spot, and the area you're sitting in could be drafty and cold. And so even though you have the thermostat at the same level, you could be cold all the time sitting in your home if it's poorly insulated and leaky.
100% true. And one thing I forgot to mention as well, part of the energy audit is that we're doing a couple of safety checks on your combustion appliances. You know, so most people on Long Island are heating typically with either an oil or gas boiler, some forced hot air, so that would be an oil or gas furnace.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually check to make sure that those are functioning safely. So that means that we're making sure that the carbon monoxide levels in the flue gas are within acceptable ranges, and we're making sure that if there's what are called natural draft appliances, which are most of the boilers and hot water heaters that we have, that the flue gas is going properly up the stack and that we don't have the potential of carbon monoxide poisoning in the home. And there have been over time deaths that have happened in people's homes because of incorrectly functioning water heaters and heating appliances.
Yep, it's not so uncommon.
Yeah, and also if somebody has natural gas or propane, we actually check for gas leaks as well. So a lot of times there's small gas leaks, which will result in both losing gas, which is inefficient, but it's also dangerous, potentially, if there's enough of it that's leaking into the home.
Right. And at this point, give people a little information about where they can actually go online right now and sign up for an energy audit.
Sure. So you can do that through a couple of different ways. You know, we would hope that people would want to work with us for that, and that's greenteamli.com. There's also PSEG has, through their energy efficiency website, PSEGLINewYork.com. There's an energy efficiency section of that. You can sign up for programs through there as well.
And that's PSEGLI New York or NY?
NY.com.
NY.com.
Yep.
Okay. And the other one is GreenTeamLI.com.
Correct.
Okay, so if people listening, we'll repeat those every so often. We've been talking about a lot of the benefits of the general energy audit, and I can tell you now, this is not theoretical for me. We bought a house 5 years ago, so everybody listening, you were saying, oh, should I really do this energy audit? You know, what could possibly come from it? We did an energy audit 5 years ago, and as a result, we did some pretty intense attic insulation. Now, because there were so many factors in flux, I don't have completely adequate data on this. But I will tell you that our heating bill went down by a huge percentage, 20 to 40%. We also had our rim joist in the basement sealed. And the amount of money that we would be spending over time from that was just enormous. Now, we did spend a lot of money on the insulation itself, but I am all for getting a loan, paying for the energy and work that you need, and then recouping the benefits. And after a certain point, after it's all paid off, you're just getting free money. It's like when you buy a solar system. You pay for it now. You may get a loan that lasts 10 to 15 years. Immediately, your bill for the solar electricity that you're using instead of the utility electricity is lower than the amounts that you're paying in the loan. So you're saving more on your monthly bill by paying for your loan than you would be by paying for your electricity coming from the utility instead of your solar panels from day one. Additionally, at the end of 10 or 15 years, whenever your loan is over with, you have free energy for the next 10 to 15 or however many years it is. So it's just so much more economically beneficial to do it that way.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, many people, and I certainly understand, you know, having been through the Great Recession of 2008, 2009, of, you know, a lot of people who are very concerned about taking on any kind of debt. I think one of the things that people forget is that they're already in debt to the utility company or their oil company for their heating and electric bill or gas bill for the next umpteen number of years. Mm. And so you're already planning to spend a monthly and annual allowance for heating and cooling your home. And for many people, that's, you know, $3,500, $4,000, $5,000 a year, depending on the type of home you have and how efficient it is, the size of it, obviously. So if you can take some of that money that you were going to spend on energy anyway and turn that into an asset that makes your home more valuable and reduces your overall expense, it really makes sense for you, both in the long term, improves your home value, and is actually a good economic decision, despite the fact that you are taking on this loan for a period of time. But like you said, relatively short in the scheme of things.
Yeah. And it is uncomfortable to consider taking on an expense, but not mm-hmm. everybody is going to have a huge expense to make your home a lot better.
Yes. No, there are certainly things that are quite affordable and, you know, sort of no-brainers, as they say.
Yes, the no-brainers. That's what I always say with when it comes to energy efficiency. So let's delve a bit more deeply into some of the areas where people are losing the most in terms of energy inefficiencies, beginning with insulation, just to give people a sense of what could be in their houses and what currently is probably if they have an older house. So let's see, starting with insulation. Let's talk about the attic, some of the places where the greatest losses are happening, and some of the newer technologies that are being used and the potential benefits people are getting from that.
Sure. So in homes, particularly in the wintertime, I sort of make the analogy that they're a little bit like a hot air balloon in the sense that your home is full of warm air, and that warm air is more buoyant than the outside air, a little bit like a hot air balloon. And obviously your house isn't going to float up into the air, but that air still is trying to get out, and it's going to find its way out through cracks and crevices, things like recessed lighting cans, things like the top plates that are in your framing of your home, any kind of fixture opening in your attic and in your ceiling are going to allow air to move up from your home and actually inside the walls up into the attic. And the way our houses are put together, most of our attics are what are called ventilated attics, which means once the warm air leaks into the attic, it's essentially lost to the outside. And so the very first thing we talk about when we're talking about making a home more energy efficient is we want to air seal, and we want to air seal the attic and stop that warm air that's in the house from leaking out and leaving us in the wintertime. And that's kind of the first thing of blocking the straw to keep the air from leaking out.
Right. So you take care of the leaks, and you're talking about leaks in basements, first floor, second floor, as well as the leaks in the ceiling of the top floor, correct?
Correct. And the ceiling of the top floor is probably the single most important thing. Like if somebody can only do one thing, caulk your attic. Get up there and, you know, find the seams and the penetrations, and there's electrical penetrations and plumbing penetrations and hi-hats and a lot of different things. And it's one of the reasons why people will sometimes hire somebody to do that is because it's dirty and it's itchy, the insulation that might be up there. But you want to get up there, find those penetrations, and caulk them. And so, you know, that's something that, we've got guys who do that every day. And that's the very first thing, is caulking up those seams, making sure that, there's not air leaking out the top.
Right, because that warm air that's being put out by your heating system wants to go upward.
It wants to go upwards.
And it will.
It will go upwards. And then the warm air, once it gets up into that attic, it's usually carrying moisture from the house, and then you actually end up with sometimes condensation on the roof deck that can cause mold on the roof, cause roof rot. So actually, by air sealing the attic, we're improving the moisture control in the attic and reducing the amount of roof rot and things like going out. So your roof will actually last longer because you air sealed the attic properly.
Okay. Now, there are also different types of insulation. I mean, you're talking about attic insulation. You could either be insulating the deck of the attic, or you could be insulating the roof itself, the underside of the roof.
Yep. So the kind of traditional insulation that was put in by most builders would have been a fiberglass bat, and that's, you know, the pink stuff that you see the commercials about. Mm-hmm. And that's fine and works well if it's installed absolutely perfectly. We find that we like to use a lot of what's called blown-in cellulose, and from an environmental standpoint, cellulose is a tremendous product. It's actually made from recycled newspaper product, so there's a good thing there. It's treated with a type of natural fire retardant, a borate material that's quite safe, and it does just kind of a great job of coating the whole attic, and typically we'll put about a foot of that insulation in. In the last 10 years or so, there's also insulation where that it can be applied directly to the roof slope, and that's often referred to as spray foam insulation, and there's a couple of different types of that. It's much more technologically, it's a chemistry that happens. When spray foam is created, there's an A part and a B part, and it's put through a nozzle under pressure. It's very efficient once it's installed. It's really quite a hazardous process while it's getting installed. So that's always the caveat that I put there, is that, they'll go up in your attic in a white suit with air supplied to them, because it's pretty dangerous stuff. But once it's installed, it is a great, great insulator. And that usually open cell or closed cell spray foam.
Yeah, you need a good installer when you have that, and
you
need to not be around.
Right, and typically we advise people, you know what, get out of the house for the day and maybe stay overnight at a hotel, let the house air out, and then you come back tomorrow and it's all ready to go.
Right. One of the other questions I have is, when you have a person who says, well, I've replaced all of my windows and doors, so I'm okay, what do you say to that?
I say, I always say that's great. And and you know, we've been hearing from window and door companies for years that you know, you replace your windows and you'll save energy. And that's true. When you replace your windows and doors, you save energy. But typically the window and door area of a house is about 15%. Hmm. And so you've changed the windows and doors and you really only fixed about 15% of the overall space on your house. So certainly a drafty window will cause some discomfort and you'll waste energy. But when you start to actually do the math, it turns out that replacing a window is typically going to save maybe $10 a year in heating and cooling. Hmm. And replacing a window now might cost $500, $600, $800 or more, depending on where you're getting your window and the quality of it. That window's actually never going to pay for itself. It's going to save energy for sure, but it's never going to actually pay for itself. So there's lots, our caveat with people about windows and doors is, if they need to be changed, if they're not functioning properly, if you can't close them, by all means, change them out. Just don't expect that they're going to pay for themselves in energy savings. Usually better off, if energy savings is your primary goal, focusing, you know, insulation, air sealing, those are going to be your most cost-effective measures. And then from there, you start to look at other things that are probably more expensive, will save you some. But, you know, it's much easier to replace the weather stripping on a door than it is to replace the entire door.
That's very interesting.
Yep.
And also with doors and windows, once you do put in new windows and doors, it's important that they be caulked properly around the moldings.
Correct. There are, unfortunately, you can spend a lot of money on, you know, a new window. And if when it's installed, the gap between the window frame and the framing for the opening, if that's not properly sealed with a low expansion foam caulk, there's still going to be air leakage there, even though the window itself is a great window, but it was installed badly. And, you know, then we fix that in a lot of cases where we're caulking around doors and windows after the fact because they're just not properly installed.
One of my secrets that I haven't told too many people about is that I love talking about, reading, and thinking about home energy efficiency. So when people...
I love it.
So when people ask, if you could talk to any historical figure, who would it be? You know, people say Jesus and George Washington and various other people. I say I'd love to talk to an energy efficiency expert. Well, that's not
that's
really
why
true.
We're here.
I'm exaggerating a little, but I really do find it fascinating. And as a homeowner, I see it as just, again, such a win-win. And it's a pleasure, once taking this on, not to be spending huge amounts of money month after month just because my structure has fixable deficiencies. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a fan of new technologies, not just new technology for technology's sake, but those with the potential to create global solutions. And I appreciate well-performing, well-oiled machines. You know, I like to work with my hands. I like fixing things. And so having a house that is operating efficiently, is it has its own set of satisfying things that it gives me.
But,
absolutely. And I'm glad to say, speaking about technology, that there are finally new forms of technology that do not rely upon Stone Age technology. That's right.
Burning something.
That's right. Cavemen and women used to burn things to get warm. And you know what? That's what we do. We're a little bit better at it. We've got these fancy machines that burn gas and they burn heating oil. But we're still burning things. We're taking things, throwing them into an oven or a chamber and setting them on fire. But there are new ways of doing this. And specifically, I'm referring to heat pumps. So I know that you're doing a lot of work with heat pumps. So explain what a heat pump is and how it's different than what has been used thus far.
Sure. So to understand how it's different, I'll make a point about combustion appliances. So typically, you know, if you burn a unit of natural gas or let's say a gallon of oil, that's worth a certain number of BTUs, of therms, creates a certain amount of heat. And some of that heat has to go up the chimney, and then some of that actually ends up in your house. And if you create the most efficient system absolutely possible, you're going to get every bit of of the heat from that, from burning that fossil fuel into your home. And that's maximum theoretical possibility. And we've become very close. So on most systems, we're getting 95, 96, as high as 97% efficient in getting, you know, in getting the heat from burning that fossil fuel into your home. And, you know, maybe we can get another 1% out and we'd be very excited about that. Heat pumps change that whole paradigm where instead of thinking about burning something and using, you know, the heat released from that, they're actually taking heat from somewhere else, typically either the air or the ground outside your home, and bringing that heat into your home during the wintertime. And in the summertime, it's taking the heat from your home and bringing it outside. Almost all of us already have at least two or three heat pumps working in our house already. One of them we call the refrigerator. So what does the refrigerator do? It takes the heat from, you know, from our food, puts it through some phase changes that happen when liquid turns into gas and some thermodynamics, and pumps the heat out the bottom or the back of your refrigerator. We have an air conditioner. The air conditioner takes heat from inside your house and puts it out to the condenser outside and blows it into the atmosphere. All a heat pump is doing that a different way. So the most traditional kind of heat pump looks almost exactly like an air conditioner. In fact, it is an air conditioner in the summertime, and in the wintertime it works by just going in reverse, takes heat that's outside. Even on the coldest days, there's still heat in the air outside, and it's taking some of the heat from outside and blowing it into your home. And because it's moving heat and not just burning something, it's actually operating a multiple of efficiencies. So a high-efficiency heat pump might run anywhere from 400% to 500% or 600% efficient as compared to the best we could do with a fossil fuel is 100% efficient, and we can't even quite get to 100%. But with a heat pump, we're now doing, you know, much, much better with the same amount of energy starting out with.
Right. So contrary to what you would think, 100% is not the limit.
It's not. It turns out it's not just the limit, and it's actually not even very good anymore.
So, yeah.
So we would like to do much, much better than 100%, and heat pumps let you do that. And what's exciting in the last decade is that there's really a variety of new heat pump technologies. It used to be that a climate like Long Island was considered a little too far north for heat pumps to work efficiently.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, and you know, so there are people who, you know, were bought into that, you know, we were going to have almost free energy from Shoreham power plant. And so in the 80s and 90s, people thought they were going to have very cheap electricity and bought, you know, sort of inefficient heat pumps. And they didn't work very well. And then Shoreham didn't work out very well, right? So still paying for that, but also have sort of a bad feeling about heat pumps. But this is not the same technology that someone's grandmother had in the you know, in the 1980s or 90s. This is a whole new technology, and there's kind of two types of heat pumps that that come into play. And I know, Bob, you have one type in your home. You have a ground source heat pump, which is absolutely, you know, the state of the art. You know, a great way to go. Can be expensive to put in, you know, if somebody can get a ground source heat pump, and what that's doing is it's using the ground as the source of heat, or the dump for heat in the summertime and the source of heat for the wintertime, and that works really well because the ground stays at a relatively stable temperature. So, you know, if it's 70 degrees in your house in the summertime, and it's, you know, 50 degrees in the ground, you know, that's sort of a, you know, that's not a very big lift for a heat pump to move heat from. In fact, in the summertime, it's very easy to take 70 degree heat from the house and put it into the 50 degree ground. And in the wintertime, it's not much harder because it's going from the 50 degree ground into your 70 degree house. And so that's an easy lift as well. So ground source heat pumps, that's a technology that's maturing. The difficulty with those is that we need to create this ground source heat sink, and oftentimes that means putting wells into the ground that can go hundreds of feet, and sometimes multiple of them. And on Long Island, we're sort of land restricted, and for a lot of homeowners, that just ends up not being a viable solution.
Yep.
So very exciting that in the last few years, companies have come out with, they're actually called cold climate heat pumps, and they're rated to run at 100% capacity down to 5 degrees F Fahrenheit. And that's actually much, that's about 10 degrees colder than our design temperature on Long Island. So they run very efficiently. There's actually an organization that does the rating of these cold climate heat pump systems called the Northeast Energy Partnership. And that's been kind of a game changer, because now people sort of have an objective place to look at ratings of different types of systems that are designed for cold climate. And so, you know, there's a bunch of programs now that have come out from New York State and from PSEG that look to support cold climate heat pump technology. And that's really been a huge shift in the air source heat pump marketplace over really just the last 2 or 3 years.
And so this type of unit can get you off of heating oil. It can get you off of natural gas.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, so you wouldn't have any combustion system in the house.
Yep.
No carbon monoxide level testers needed. Safer.
Yeah, no, it's making homes safer, getting rid of your fossil fuel, when you get rid of an oil tank, you have no more risk of oil tank leakage. There's no more kind of smell of it. You don't have to clean and maintain this this oil system. There's no more danger of puffbacks. There's a whole bunch of kind of benefits that come from getting rid of our fossil fuel combustion devices in the house.
Yep. That's great. That's great. That's a real advance.
That is a real advance.
Yeah. So what's your response to those who ask, shouldn't I just wait until my old heating system fails or my cooling system fails and then get the newest?
Yeah, so, you know, this is something that comes up a lot where, you know, it's sort of the it's not broke, don't fix it mentality. So the first thing that I remind people of is, you know, if you get a system that's kind of getting up there in years, if it's like 5 or 10 degrees out in February and your system breaks, what do you think your options are? You're in an emergency situation now. You need to get something in there. And so now you're calling around looking for somebody who can get a replacement in there absolutely as quickly as possible. You're no longer considering the quality. You're not taking your time as to, you know, maybe it's the right system for you would need to be ordered and it would take, you know, a week to get there, which in the scheme of things would be nothing. But you have no heat in your house.
I've been in that position.
Now you're in a situation where you're contemplating spending thousands of dollars with the first guy who can get in there, like, you know, immediately, and it just happens to have this old 20-year-old, it's a brand new 20-year-old technology oil boiler or oil, you know, or gas furnace in there, and now you're making a very reactive decision to get into a device that's you're going to be stuck with for another 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
So make a proactive decision before you get to that point of where, you know, you're in an emergency situation and needing to make a decision that you're going to have to live with or regret for the next couple of decades.
Yeah, those are words of wisdom for sure. Now, some people are hesitant even to get a free home energy audit because they think that it's going to be expensive. And your company's website states that specialists help the homeowner take advantage of the full range of town, utility, New York State, and federal programs that can make getting the work done more affordable. We don't have a lot of time, but mention just a couple of those, just to give people an example of what might be available. And also, there are programs available for people at various income levels.
Yeah, so one of the great things about New York State is that there are programs that are literally designed for every income bracket. So we don't need to ask somebody, are you well off? You know, can you afford this type of equipment? Or we just want to get in your home and see what's there. And then as we get to understand your situation, there are programs that are literally 100% grants for making certain types of energy efficiency improvements. The state has subsidized loans for moderate, low and moderate income. And then some of the towns, Babylon in particular, has a financing program that has no credit check, that's through a property assessment. So there's things that are out there. And, you know, back to the beginning of our discussion, you're going to be paying for this energy. You might as well be using it to pay for efficient equipment and reducing your energy bill, and then owning an asset that's going to continue to function and do well for you, whether that asset is a more efficient house, more efficient heating equipment, some kind of heat pump, or renewable energy. That's something that's going to continue to provide value to you for a long time.
Jay, we have probably just a minute left, but I also want to mention that your company, Green Team LI, greenteamli.com, does solar installations. And I know a lot has been changing. You know, changes every year with federal tax credits. But there are still federal tax credits available at this point. So say a little something about that.
Yeah, so there's a 26% federal tax credit and a 25% state tax credit. So, you know, people can get up to 51% of a project in New York covered for renewable energy for a solar system. And that means that the payback for a typical homeowner is well within about 7 or 8 years for most people if you have good roof. And it's easy to get yourself evaluated whether you have a good roof. And then you look at, you know, what's the production and, you know, is that going to cover 100%? And the great thing there is that those solar panels will continue to produce for 20, 30, you know, even longer years electricity. So
right.
It really is a great option.
It is a great option. After 7 to 8 years, I'll restate what you said because it deserves restating. After 7 to 8 years, you've been paid back in energy savings what you spent for your system initially.
Yep.
After
yep.
7 to 8 years, it's all free.
Yep.
Not only is it free for you, if you were to sell your house, the people buying your house would be buying a house that has free electricity, which is a pretty nice bonus. Given
that is a very nice bonus.
Yeah, all things being equal. So, Jay, any final thoughts to leave our audience with?
Sure, yeah. Really, it's get yourself an energy audit. Look at what options make sense for you. What are the programs that are out there? And then you can make an intelligent, informed decision, not in a reactive way, that's going to be right for you and your family for years to come.
All right. Great information. And you can get that energy audit by going to www.greenteamli.com or PSEGLINY.com. And that's Jay Best, veteran environmental scientist and engineer, founder and president of Green Team Long Island, a full-service home efficiency company specializing in whole home solutions. Thanks so much for being with us, Jay.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this is Bob DiBenedetto. I want to thank you all for listening to the Healthy Planet radio program. We're going to be here again on Friday, February 7th at the same time. That's at 6 p.m., and we'll be on the following week, too. We're now on the first two Fridays of every month. Not only am I on, but when I'm not here, you'll be able to hear Dr. Eugene Zamperone and Beth Fiteni, information about health and environmental issues. And I'll also announce that Healthy Planet, along with our friends at the Real Truth About Health Conference and the Sustainability Institute at Molloy College, will be doing a free showing of the Game Changers movie. This is the iTunes best-selling documentary of all times. And if you've got a New Year's resolution to get fit this year, be there at this event. The event is workout clothing optional, okay? That doesn't mean clothing optional, okay? It means workout clothing optional. So if you want to get into the spirit of things, come in your workout clothing. That'll be on Tuesday, January 21st at 8 p.m. at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington. And you could go to our website at healthyplanetusa.org, healthyplanetusa.org. But go in probably the next few days. We'll have all the information and give you the link where you can actually buy your free tickets for nothing. And also I'm going to mention that the Real Truth About Health Conference is coming to Long Island again. This is happening this year at January 24th to February 2nd. It has an enormous number of speakers over the course of 10 days. And these speakers are many of the speakers who have spoken at Healthy Planet over the years. And so they have my recommendation as some of the best speakers you can get on health and environmental issues. You could go to therealtruthabouthealth.com to get more information about that conference. And this coming Saturday, there is a climate change conference on Long Island at the Sisters of St. Joseph's. I do not have the information in front of me. We announced it last week, but I'll give it to you. If you go to Healthy Planet USA on Facebook, you'll be able to get all this information because we'll post that. I'm going to leave it off at that because we're over time here. And it's time for your reggae music. But until next time, stay strong, keep moving. Relax. Make your voice heard in this world by speaking up for what's right, even if the political climate is challenging. Be kind to those around you and enjoy this beautiful world that we all share. Good night.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. There's nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. Nothing you can know that can't be known. Nothing you can see that isn't shown. Nowhere you can be that isn't where you're meant to be. It's easy.